it's hard to keep a positive face when you don't like what's going on in your workplace.
Welcome to the Telling It Our Way podcast. I'm Becca.
And I'm Allie.
In this podcast, we bring you stories by disabled people about disabled people. Stories from the daily lives of self-advocates with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
These are real people with complicated lives. We don't want your pity, and we do not exist to inspire you.
Yeah, this is not inspiration porn. Hello, Allie.
Hi, Becca.
I am so excited about today's show. So we are going back to a topic that we started in season one. So we thought a little bit about work in season one, but this time we're going to take a slightly different approach to it. So like we've done with a couple of episodes in season two, we're really just going to focus on one person today. So our storyteller is Sarah. And just as a little reminder for everybody about how the show works, like many of our guests, we met with Sarah before she came on the show. We worked with her. We met with her twice to work on the script that she developed for the show. She wanted to talk about work and particularly kind of some of the successes that she'd had, but also some of the challenges that she had faced as a person with a disability seeking and maintaining employment.
That's right. And she was especially interested in talking about how she doesn't get many hours at work. So she has to work three or four different jobs for a few hours each a week. But when Sarah came to the studio to record, something interesting happened. It was clear a few minutes into the recording that Sarah wasn't referencing her script at all. And we had some questions about that.
Yeah. So What we're going to do is we're going to first play you the bit of a story that she came in and started telling when we started recording. And then we'll come back and we'll tell you what happened next.
Let's meet Sarah.
I work three different jobs. I'm looking for job number four right now. I have different styles of management. I work at a restaurant. I work as a ticket taker. And I also work as a customer service associate for a shoe store. And like I said, I have different styles of management and they're all willing to work with me. And it's great to have my jobs. I'm very grateful that I've had the jobs for as long as I have, a year and a half. And it's been great. I enjoy being out in the community because I like being a teaching tool for my bosses because they don't necessarily know how to interact with people with disabilities. So I enjoy being a guinea pig for them. It's enjoyable for me. I love it. It's my pastime to be at work. My happy place is at work. I really do enjoy being a teaching tool for my coworkers as well. If everyone is open-minded, it's great to be disabled in the community and be positive for everyone else. And you always have to keep a positive attitude about these things. It's great because when you keep a positive attitude, people respond to you and make you a part of the family. Because I have different families when it comes to my workplaces. I have a few favorite coworkers, and my bosses are good at helping me do what I can do in the workplace, which is always good. We have a good relationship, me and my bosses, and being disabled in the workplace is hard to find as many hours as you want. But when you enjoy what you do in the workplace, it's fun. It really is fun. The restaurant I work at is very welcoming, usually. What's also good is they usually treat me with a level of respect. And that's what I would tell anyone listening right now, is treat disabled people with respect. When you see a person with a disability, you don't know what their disability is, so please treat them with respect. and treat people, all people, with respect, not just people with disabilities, but extra caring for people with disabilities would be great.
Okay, so while Sarah says a lot of really great things in that story, what we noticed immediately was that it wasn't the story that she had written with us. It wasn't really including the message that she told us she wanted to share when we had met with her beforehand. You know, Sarah shared a whole lot about her pride and her enjoyment in working, but what was missing from her recording were the challenges and the frustrations and the assumptions that she faces as a disabled person in the workforce.
Yeah, so with Sarah's permission, we kept recording, and what you're going to hear next is an impromptu interview we had with Sarah.
Do you want to share a little bit about why you decided to kind of go this different direction with what you wanted to talk about?
I would like to be respectful of of people that are possibly hearing this. And yes, my bosses are at a slight disadvantage when it comes to me because, they don't know what exactly to do with me. And I want to sound grateful.
Why? Why do you want to sound grateful?
Because there are people that are perfectly able to walk that don't have as many jobs as I do. And I need to be respectful of that. I understand that I went totally off script, but
it's okay. Sarah, you're not in trouble with us or anything like that. We just want to make sure that you're saying what you want to say, but I understand that you're maybe worried about who might hear. I understand your discomfort, and I think that it's totally valid. And so I wonder though if we might be able to just take some of what you said in what you shared just now and just add some examples to it. So for example, you talk about how you like to be the term you use is teaching tool for other people, right? And so if you could provide maybe some examples of what that looks like, because people might not know what that means.
Okay. So what I mean by teaching tool is there is certain types of equipment that I have to use while I'm at work. And my bosses may not necessarily know how to help me when it comes to my equipment. The restaurant I work at, they've been very helpful. They ordered me a chair for doing cash register, and it like I said, people need to be taught how to deal with someone with disabilities. And I understand from my boss's perspective that it's hard to deal with a person with disabilities, but like I said, the number of hours that I work is very minimal, and that's not a good thing. And I try to deal with my bosses compassionately as I can, but like I said, there's been some experiences where I don't like what's going on. And my job coaches have watched me not like what's going on. And it's hard to keep a positive face when you don't like what's going on in your workplace. I've had an experience where no one's talked to me all day. And it's hard when you have someone not talk to you all day. I don't know if it's because of my wheelchair. I don't know if it's because people don't like me. I don't know if it's because of anything I did. But there are things that my boss has asked me to do that I'm like, I can't do that. And you need to be respectful of that. And I've had to call them out several times on, I can't do that. You need to find a different way to do this for me. And usually they work with me. And there have been times where I've gotten very frustrated with all of it. But I try to keep a positive smile on my face. I really do. And it's very hard to be told no, that you can't have the number of hours that you want at any specific place. I would like to have one job with 16 hours a week. That would be great. But realistically, right now, it's not possible. And I don't know if it's because of me or if it's the handicap barrier that we as disabled people have when it comes to working. It's a real thing because people don't understand how to deal with us. Like, I have two regular customers at the restaurant I work at that come in all the time, and they are always nice to me, and they tried to give me an ornament at Christmas time that's a Barbie in a wheelchair, and I had to refuse them because I don't need the reminder that I'm disabled. And we all get frustrated in our own ways because we have a disability, but that doesn't mean you have to treat us any differently, and you need to show us some respect for what we do because we are the hardest working employees that you will have ever in your corporation if you're willing to work with us correctly.
And when you say correctly, do you mean by providing accommodations?
Yes.
Yeah. I just, when I listen to you talk about this, Sarah, I get really mad on your behalf.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, when you say things like, I feel like I need to be grateful, or, you know, it's just not possible for me to work the number of hours that I want to work, and or it's hard to work with disabled people, right? Like, that's not, those barriers are ableism, right? There's nothing about you that says that you couldn't work 16 hours a week at one job, right? And so it just makes me very angry on your behalf that you feel like you have to communicate that you're really grateful for whatever 2 hours a week you can get wherever you can work, right? I think that's completely unfair.
I mean, how many able-bodied people do you know that have 4 jobs almost?
Exactly, right? I mean, thinking about this, like, underemployment problem. This, you're not the only person who's faced this, not the only person with a disability who faces this. And so I think it's really important to talk about, right? You can have great experiences with your coworkers, but also you can recognize that, like, systemically, that's not fair.
Right.
And my bosses really do try to include me. Well, most of them anyway. In the company policies and everything, but there's been quite a few times where I've had to stand up for myself and say, hey, this is not what you had me doing, so you need to tell me something else I can do to make it helpful for you, because I want to be a part of the corporate machine like everyone else is and make money for you. I'm willing to make money for you. I'm a good cog in the machine, and you need to tell me what I need to do to make it better for you.
Well, I think what's really important is to remind them that it's not about them being nice or not. It's the law.
Right.
Right. And like what you're saying, you're not asking for anything other than to be an employee.
Right.
And so it's not nice of them to pay their employees, to schedule their employees regular hours, right? That's just how businesses work.
Right. And I've constantly had to ask for hours between all 3 jobs. And it's really, it makes me very angry to have to ask because how many people, able-bodied people, do you know that have to ask for hours? And I've even had interviews lately where people are like, why are you applying for this job? And I've even had people tell me, why are you applying for this job when you know you're not going to get it? And even for a disabled person, it's all about networking and about figuring out where you can put yourself so you can be helpful. Because all we want to do is be helpful to other people, or in my opinion, all I want to do is be helpful to other people, because I enjoy being helpful and I enjoy basically not being alone all the time and being helpful to other people and making the world a better place. I just want to be, like I said, I just want to be helpful to the other people around me and to my bosses. But in my experience, I haven't been very helpful, and it really does frustrate me. And people make assumptions that we can't be helpful, and we can. Mm-hmm. You just have to find the right place for us. Mm-hmm.
So, Becca, what are some of your initial thoughts on hearing Sarah's story again?
Well, I mean, I say a lot of those thoughts in the interview itself, but some of the things that come to mind for me, I'm thinking back to our previous episode on confidence. And one of the things that we talk about there is that the research says that paid work and having a kind of valued role in your community matters a lot to how people with intellectual and developmental disabilities perceive themselves. And that makes sense. That's how all of us are. But the thing I keep coming back to with Sarah is that she changed her story. The things that she altered in her script, she felt like she needed to appear grateful for the few hours a week that she was scheduled at each of her jobs. She didn't want to ruffle any feathers. She didn't want to talk too much about some of those challenges because she was worried about who might hear this story. And I also thought about kind of the pressures that she talks about feeling, where she feels like she needs to teach the people she works with and the customers she interacts with about how to interact with disabled people. And that just felt like a lot of responsibility she's placing on herself.
And unpaid labor, right? She's not getting paid to teach people how to interact with disabled people, right? That's outside of the scope of any of her actual job responsibilities. So what do we know about Sarah's story and how it fits into the larger landscape? For instance, we know that there are roughly three types of employment that people with IDD take part in. Supported group employment, which is like a sheltered workshop where employees make sub-minimum wage. Supported employment and independent employment. And according to National Core Indicators, only 15% of people with IDD take part in any of this employment. So Sarah is somebody with IDD who is part of supported employment, meaning she has some supports in place like a job coach. 37% of employed people with IDD fall into this category. So 37% of the 15% of people with IDD who work.
Yeah, and we bring up those statistics again and again because it really is important to point out that there is a huge employment gap that exists between disabled and non-disabled people, but particularly people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and particularly the kinds of employment that include paid work at minimum wage or above, even less so full-time work or work that has benefits attached to it. And so we really just want to keep highlighting that employment gap. But the other issue that Sarah brings up that I want to mention is this idea of underemployment. So she mentions, she has to work three or four jobs to cobble together 16 hours of work a week. So she's working, two or three hours at each of these different places of employment. And what we know is that underemployment is a huge issue for disabled people. A 2024 report from the Center for American Progress found that disabled people are almost twice as likely to work just part-time than their non-disabled counterparts, and in general work less hours. hours. And there's a lot of different reasons for that, right? Some of those reasons have to do with those that benefits issue that we've discussed earlier in the season. But there's also this problem of just simply not being able to find employment where employers are willing to give you the hours that you want. And that's what Sarah talks about here. And then going back to the national core indicators, you know, what they found was the average biweekly hours for that 15% of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities who are working in paid work in their communities is 27 hours. So that's about 14 hours a week.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this is when we have a pretty strong economy, a pretty low unemployment rate. I mean, I think the last time I remember talking about this was with the general population during the Great Recession, when people had jobs or were finding jobs again, but they were still underemployed. But this is happening with people with IDD during healthy economies, during a healthy economic situation.
So, I mean, we don't want to leave you with nothing but kind of bleak news here. So there actually was a really great piece of news that just came out of the Department of Labor in December of 2024. So earlier you talked about this issue of sheltered workshops and subminimum wage. And just as a reminder for our listeners, subminimum wage is a legal process by which you can pay some employees less than minimum wage based on the kind of certificate approval that the business itself has, and then some testing that they do on the employees themselves to see, you know, how fast are you able to do certain things, or what's your productivity and so forth, right? And there have been years and years of work to push to eliminate paying workers with disabilities less than minimum wage, because of course that is an unfair standard that exists. And so just in December, the Department of Labor proposed a rule change to end the subminimum wage loophole for workers with disabilities. And they're taking comments on it now. So it's not passed yet. It's not kind of in process, but it's a really good first step. So what this would mean is that no new businesses could get these certificates that would allow you to pay subminimum wage, and businesses that have these certificates would have to stop paying subminimum wage within 3 years of this rule change going into effect. And so this is a really kind of positive change and work toward more equity for disabled workers.
Yeah, and that's a really fantastic development. And I know people in the disability justice community are very excited about it, but it is a development that doesn't really change a lot for our storyteller today, Sarah, right? So there's a lot more work to do in terms of thinking about how we can improve working conditions for people with IDD. So it's not just about removing unfair laws, but replacing them with meaningful support for community employment.
Totally, right? And that's why we need to listen to storytellers with Sarah, like Sarah, about their experiences. So that's where we'll leave it today, is listen to disabled people about their experiences, and that's how we make meaningful change. Before we end, I want to thank our contributor, Sarah, our associate producer, Connor Smenner, our intern, Ava Gottschalk, and our Telling It Our Way advisory board members, Jorita Fox, Quinn Thomas, and Gavin Daly.
And special thanks to WGTE and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer.
To access transcripts for this show and any other show notes, please visit wgte.org/ourway.
I'm Allie Day.
And I'm Becca Monteleone. And you've been listening to Telling It Our Way.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.